Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Lord, give us something from Your throne. Father, touch our hearts with Your heart and Your character. Impart that character to us, Lord, that we may know You and the simplicity of truth. In Jesus' name. My message is getting a little bit rearranged here. That's okay. Somebody asked me a good question the other day. They asked me about what it is to have simplicity. What is the simplicity of Christ? That's a very good question. Never got answered, but it was kind of going through my mind overnight. And so we will talk about that a little bit. In Job chapter 42 and verse 5, the Word of God says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And this is how it works. We hear of God through the hearing of the ear until our perception can see Him. The Word of God, if I mix faith with what I hear, if my faith goes from being objective to subjective, will eventually let me see the invisible. Because I'm not walking by a natural sight, but I'm walking by a faith which is divine sight. When Jesus was on earth, He could not see the Father, but He said, I do those things which I see of the Father. He didn't say, I do the things that I hear from my Father. He said, I do the things that I see of my Father. But He could not see Him. But He could see Him. Faith is a better sight than sight. And though I may hear of Him, it is important that I not just hear of Him, it is important that I eventually see Him. And although I don't mean with my physical eyes, I do mean that I can see Him. Any believer who has seen God knows what I'm talking about. There are times when you look at a person and you see God. And many people have experienced that. Well, I get to see Him. I can see where He is. I know His presence. If I walk into a room, I know if He is there or He is not there. Because I have faith sight rather than natural sight. Faith sight is so much better than natural sight. Always live in faith sight. Never live in natural sight. And so I see the invisible. I hear the inaudible. And I see and I do the impossible. Because I have a supernatural God. But none of those things will come apart from the simplicity of Christ. Now in 2 Corinthians 11, the Word of God says in verse 3, but now, and I'm reading in the Amplified, but now I am fearful lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from the wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now in the King James that reads, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, that simplicity that is in Christ is really how a believer lives in faith. If I'm not living in the simplicity of Christ, then I'm living in the flesh. When I live in simple faith, then everything is really very simple. Nothing is very complicated. I simply believe God. But when my flesh comes into play, and I feel like somehow I have to control or regulate or manipulate or do or choose, the choosing is a big one. By the way, the person who has lots of choices is the person who's living in the flesh. God doesn't give choices. God gives leadings, and that's about it. He doesn't give choices. God never said to Moses, well, if you feel like it, you can lead Israel out of Egypt. No, God said, Moses, you're going to take Israel out of Egypt. He gave him a call. God doesn't give a choice. God gives a calling. And God said to Moses, you're going to do this. Before it happened, God said, you're going to do this. I don't care that you're a very old man. You're going to lead millions of people out of Egypt, out of bondage, and you're going to lead them into the wilderness. And I don't care that you're an old man. I don't care, Moses, that you don't understand how it's going to happen. You're going to do it. And the reason why I don't care how it's if you understand how it's going to happen is because I understand how it's going to happen. And I'm the one who's actually doing it. You're just opening your mouth when I tell you to. And you're moving your feet in the direction I tell you to go. And that's all you do. You see, faithful is he who's called you, who will also do it. That is the simplicity of Christ. I don't have to worry about my life. My life is God's worry. I don't have to worry about what I will do. God has already laid out a plan for me. I don't have to worry about the circumstances or the people. I don't have to worry about my family situation. I don't have to worry about my parents or my kids. I don't have to worry about my spouse or whatever the case may be. God has a plan. He has established that plan before I was even born. He has established that plan before the world was ever created. And He is the one who implements the plan. So I don't have to know what I am doing. I just have to respond in faith obedience to His calling and His leading. And that's all I need to do. And if I respond in faith obedience, then God will take me where He wants me to go. Just like He did with Peter at the end when he had reached spiritual maturity. Now, the word minds there, I am fearful, I fear, lest by any means the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Minds is the perception, the thought, and the concepts of the mind. Eve had a certain concept of the mind, as did Adam. God taught them that concept of the mind. They knew the prohibition. They knew the liberties they had. They knew their place in the garden. They had a call from God to tend to the garden. They were given provisions by God, the fruits of the garden. And they were given a job, if you will, by God. And companions. They were given companions in the garden. But her mind became corrupted from the simplicity of what God had given her. All of a sudden, she started wanting what she had already possessed without realizing that she had possessed it. One of the most subtle and deceptive and I think insidious moves that Satan can make is that he causes believers to want what is actually already theirs. For example, young people will want relationships when God has a relationship already prepared for them if they would wait on Him. And so they pursue what they want, but what they want is something they already have in the plan of God. They just haven't reached the attainment of it. And so they give up what God has for them in pursuit of something they want and try to achieve in their natural abilities, which usually leads to a lot of grief. Terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. This is one of the reasons why it bothers me when I hear certain people telling young folks in colleges, go out and get a date. No, you don't know what you're talking about, and you don't know the spirit that's off. You don't go out and get a date. You let God bring you your spouse. And that's how it works. You know why? Because they don't trust Him.
Well, how are you going to get married if you don't start dating?
I don't know. God created me and He's holding my atoms together out of dust. Maybe you can create another person out of dust. I don't know. The God who created the universe can certainly figure that one out, I think. I don't know. Maybe that's the one that stumped him. That's how people behave, though, isn't it? That's how they act. That's the one that stumped God. It's very simple. We live in a simple faith, and the simplicity of faith is the simplicity of Christ. Now, the word corrupted there is pheno, P-H-T-H-I-N-O, pheno. It's in the passive voice. That means it had been done to her. She didn't do it, it was done to her. Satan did that to Eve. He corrupted the simplicity of Christ in Eve. And it means to destroy. It's amazing, these meanings. If you think about Satan's attitude, it means to destroy, to punish with destruction. Did you know that for every act of obedience, Satan wants to punish you with disobedience? Punish with destruction, bring to a worse state, to corrupt, to spoil, to reduce the spiritual and moral value. That's exactly what he did to Eve. He destroyed them, he punished them for being with God, but he punished her through her own choice. And that's where the insidious nature of the corruption is. He can't do it until my volition agrees with him. But then when my volition agrees with him, then he can do it. Because then God's prohibition against him is eliminated by my free volition, and now he has free reign because I said it's okay. And God won't violate that free volition. It's part of the believer priesthood. Wholehearted and sincere and pure, in the King James, it's simplicity. It's haplotes in the original. And it means to be singular, single, not having an ulterior or double motive. Simplicity, purity, sincerity, faithfulness, plenitude, and being faithful and benevolent. You see, her mind had been corrupted. It had lost its spiritual value from her faithfulness toward God. The amazing thing to me is that even when we do not believe, yet God abides faithful, because after Adam and Eve fell, God went looking for them. And after they hid themselves, God kept looking for them until he found them. He was faithful, even when they were not. That is the simplicity of Christ. Even if I'm not faithful, do you believe this? Even if I am not faithful, even if you are not faithful, God will abide faithful. Even if you don't believe him, God will abide faithful. Shall unbelief make the faithfulness of God of no effect? God forbid. Isn't that what the apostle wrote? God forbid. Now, even if I live in unbelief, God will abide faithful. That's the simplicity of Christ. He is faithful. He's not double-minded. He has a singleness. And even if Satan can corrupt my singleness, he has a singleness. And his singleness is incorruptible. God said simply, I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you, in Jeremiah 31:3. It's that simple. There's nothing more to it. There's not a condition. There's not a way about going about it. There's nothing more to it. God simply said, I love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you. And that's all there is. There is nothing more. There is no ulterior motive. It's simply he loves you, and that's that simple. It's the simpleness of Christ, the simplicity of Christ. God says if you fail, in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive your failure if you simply confess it to him. You don't have to go through some weird act of repentance where you're flogging yourself mentally. No. You just say, God, that was a failure. God said, yeah, it was. That's all there is to it. Why? Because how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So I agree with God, and I'm walking with Him again. It's that simple. It's that simple. God said, if you ask, you shall receive. Believers don't believe that one. They don't think if they ask, they'll receive. But it's really that simple. I ask God, and I receive. You know why believers don't receive? Because they don't ask. You know why they don't ask? Because they don't believe. Sometimes a believer asks and says, I'm not going to get this. That's not actually asking, that's calling God a liar. You know, God doesn't answer people when they call Him a liar. You know why? Because He is faithful. What do you think God would, how do you think God would answer? God, you're a liar. Okay, now you're going to get yours. Isn't that what people would do? Can you imagine if God was like we are? But God said, ask and you shall receive. He didn't make it complicated. He didn't put any qualifications on it. He just said, ask and you will receive. Everyone who asks, receives. That's it right there. As we said earlier, God said, if you ask for bread, He won't give you a stone. So God says, if you ask me for something good, I'm not going to give you something bad. God said He gives us every good and perfect gift. It's that simple. People are afraid to walk into a calling because they think the calling is going to be something bad, something hard, something that will damage them, something that will be difficult for them or unpleasant. But God doesn't do that. He said, I give you every good and perfect gift. That simple. You know why people think that? They don't know His character. They don't know that He really does simply love them. They don't know He really is simply kind toward them. They don't know that He... They don't believe. That's why they don't know, because they don't believe. They don't believe that He is really... They are really the apple of His eye. They don't believe that He is gentle and good towards them. They don't believe that His thoughts are towards their welfare, their well-being. They think God's going to lead me into something difficult. No, He's not. He's going to lead you into something beautiful. He's not going to give you a scorpion. In Luke 8:50, the Word of God says, but Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Isn't that where believers often are? God says something. God imparts something to the heart. The Word of God says a call comes, whatever it may be. And they get seized with alarm and struck with fear. No. He said, simply believe and she shall be made well. That word believe... In the Amplified Version, it brings out that it's in me as able to do this. You're asking God for something, and you're struck with fear because you don't think God is able to do it. He's able to do it. Simply believe. It's the simplicity of Christ. Simply believe. You have somebody that is sick, or somebody who is giving you a hard time at home, perhaps. Or maybe you have some situation on the job, or you have a circumstance in your life. Simply believe God is more than able. God is able to do this for you. Not only is He able, He's very willing. As a matter of fact, He's so willing, He's waiting for you to ask. And He's waiting for you to ask because He doesn't want to violate your believer priesthood and your free volition. Simply believe that He is able to do it. And it will be made well. That's all it takes. It's the simplicity of faith. It's the simplicity that's in Christ. The place where simplicity goes away is when natural thinking comes in. My flesh takes away the simplicity that is Christ. My flesh takes away the simplicity. Natural thinking takes away the simplicity of faith. But God says, simply believe. Don't be afraid. Simply believe and it will be well. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and sincerity, and that word sincerity is purity and sincerity, like the purity of truth and the purity of a sincere heart before God, not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world. Conversation means our fruit in our lives, a lifestyle in the world. It's like, it's not with fleshly wisdom. It's not with the wisdom of the world. It's not with the wisdom of the natural man. But it's in the simplicity of God. In Romans 16:19, the Word of God says, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Now the word wise there is not actually wise. I'm not sure why they translate it that way. The word there means to exist. And what he is saying is, I would have you to exist, and unto that word is eis, and means inside of. I would have you exist inside of that which is divinely good, the goodness of God, not the goodness of man. I would have you exist inside of the goodness, the divine goodness of God, and simple. And the word simple means akereos in the original language, which is without any mixture of deceit and without any defiling material concerning evil. Without any defiling material concerning evil. What is evil? Evil is the government of Satan, and Satan is the god of this world. The world is the manifestation, the world system of evil. So I would have you uncorrupted and in no way defiled by the world, but living in the simplicity, existing in it, of divine good. Of God's nature. Do we live like this? If not, then we do not live in the simplicity of Christ. But this is the way that we were intended to be, in the simplicity of Christ. Romans 1:22, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made themselves simpletons. That's how the Amplified put it. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, which means professing to be smart, they made themselves into simpletons. Isn't this what the natural mind does? It takes away the simplicity of faith. It takes away the simplicity of God's promises. It takes away the simplicity of God's character. It takes away the simplicity of God's faithfulness. It takes away the simplicity of God's Word, and you become a fool when you live apart from the simplicity of who Christ is. But you think, this is the deception, you think because you are thinking with your natural mind and now you are feeling the analysis in your head, you think that suddenly there's wisdom in it because there's some kind of a muscle strain going on. There is no wisdom in it. It's becoming a simpleton. In Isaiah 55:9, the Word of God says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God offers us the mind of Christ, or we can keep our own natural mind. I can be a simpleton, or I can have God's wisdom. I don't know about you, I'd rather have God's wisdom. More often than not, it's better. It's better to have the wisdom of God than to be a simpleton. But it doesn't take place apart from the simplicity of faith, because having mixed faith with what they hear, Right? We mix faith with what we hear. And that's where it starts to profit us. Simple faith. In 1 Corinthians 8:2, the Word of God says, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought. I think that's a fascinating verse. It doesn't just say, if any man thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know the thing he thinks he knows. No, it says, if you think you know anything at all, you know nothing at all. So I think I know something about this, and God says, you don't know anything about anything. What is that all about? It's, you know what it is? It's the natural mind clinging to the dust of the world, leaving the simplicity of faith, the simplicity of Christ, whose thoughts are higher than the heaven is above the earth, whose ways are higher than my ways. And I can leave these things, or I can take them. It's better to live in the simplicity of Christ, in the simplicity of faith, than to live in the natural thinking and the natural ability of man. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We have known and believed. We have known and believed. How do you live in the love of God? You have to know it, and you have to believe it. You don't just know it, and you can't believe it without knowing it. You know it, and you believe it. And then you can live in it. The simplicity of Christ through the simplicity of faith. I mean, God makes things so clear. God makes things so clear. By the way, the times I have clarity are the times I am thinking with Him. The times I have clarity are the times I'm thinking with Him. The times I have confusion are the times I'm not thinking with Him. Don't think with God, there's no clarity. Think with God, there's no confusion. Luke 11:34, the light of the body is the eye, the perception. Therefore, if thy eye, thy perception, is single, the whole body is full of light. But if your perception, your eye, is evil, your whole body is full of darkness. Simplicity in Christ. Simplicity of thought without the Word of God. Simplicity of faith in the promises of God. The simplicity of being comforted by His faithfulness. The simplicity of just knowing Him. And you're full of light. It's so easy to fall into this trap where I think I have to figure things out. I don't have to figure anything out. God's already figured it out. I simply have to respond to God. We weren't made to figure things out. We don't have the capacity. People don't like that. They say, well, how am I going to be responsible and how am I going to make decisions? Very simple. Get to know God, get to learn to hear His voice, and learn how to follow Him. That's how you make your decisions. We weren't made to make that many decisions. I mean, I suppose it's okay. I'm going to have, I don't know, Wheaties or Rice Krispies for breakfast. Okay, maybe I can try to handle that, although half the time I can't. But you know, beyond that, there's not much I can do as far as my own life goes. I can't see tomorrow. I can't see 2 seconds from now. I'll never forget when I was working in the emergency room, they brought a man who had gone to dinner. He was there with his best friend from high school. He was an old man. He reached across the table to pick up an iced tea. When he began his reach, he didn't know what would happen by the time he grabbed the glass. You see, as he began his reach, before he could grab the glass, he entered into eternity. He didn't know that was coming. Tell me, what can I decide on my own? What do I know on my own What do I have apart from that which God gives to me? What do I know apart from that which God shows me? I don't have anything and I don't know anything. And if I think I know anything at all, I don't know anything at all. The Word of God says, draw nigh unto God and God draws nigh unto you. It's really very simple. People say, I don't have God in my life. I can't feel you, God. Then draw nigh unto God and God will draw nigh unto you. It's that simple. The simplicity of Christ. It says, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. If you are born again, your steps will be ordered by God. It's that simple. The Word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He directs your path. How many people acknowledge the Lord in all their ways, and how many people go about trying to figure it out themselves? They try to figure it out themselves because they don't live in the simplicity of Christ. Like in the morning, do you wake up and ask God to fill you? Here's another one. When you get in the car to drive, do you ask God to protect you? I had a friend in college who was killed on the highway going to work. He thought he knew where he was going that morning. He was mistaken. Pray before you get in the car. Why? Because acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He'll direct your path. Pray before you do anything. Pray if you're a student, pray before you take a test. Just acknowledge Him. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. And He'll direct your path. I got through college that way with a 3.9 grade point average. That's pretty good. Pray and He delivers you. He takes you and He delivers you where you need to go. It's the simplicity of Christ. He will do what He has said. In Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. How many believers think it's up to them to direct their steps? Let me ask you this one, parents. How many believers think it is up to them to direct their children's steps? No. It's up to the Lord to direct your steps. And it's up to the Lord to direct your children's steps. And He will. Right? And He will. The steps of a good man are ordered by Him, and he delights in His way. In Psalms 37:23, faithful is He in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, who has called you, who will also do it. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do all His good pleasure. How many people sense a call from God that they are afraid of? Well, it's up to God to make you willing and then to make you do it. It's that simple. It's the simplicity of God. I don't have to be afraid. It's the simplicity of Christ. But He knoweth the way that I take. In Job 23:10. He knows the way that I take. And if I go in that way and I enter into a trial, then I'm going to come forth as gold. In John 5:30, the Lord Himself said, I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing of mine own self. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's the simplicity of Christ. As a believer, I am not greater than my Master, and my Master did not seek His own will. So as a believer, I do not seek my own will, I seek the will of the Father who has sent me. How many people, how many young people, older people too, but a lot of you guys are making decisions for your lives right now. How many of you are seeking God's will and how many of you are seeking your own will? How many of you are going after the Word of God, and this is a very good bunch, I know that. And how many of you are going after a career or after something pleasant to you? oh, this would be fun. This would make a great job. I think I'll study this in college. Well, if God leads you into it, wonderful. But if He doesn't, what are you doing? By the way, if you are going thinking about college, or if you are starting college and choosing your major, have you considered, what is your will for me to do here? Or have you considered, oh, this is what I like, this is fun, I'm going to go after it. That's a foreign one to many students entering college. That's a very foreign one. God, what's your will here? I love the fact that you guys are after Bible college. Get yourself rooted in His Word. Then you'll learn how to think. So when you are faced with the world, you'll be equipped. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. So He said, I can do nothing of my own self. And this was the Savior. You see, there is such simplicity in Christ. It really is. There is such simplicity in Christ. You know the thing that's amazing to me about God's ways? Is they're easy. God's ways are easy. They're easy on the emotions. They're easy on the mind. They're simply easy. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They're easy. You know when they start getting hard? When I kick against the pricks. Isn't that what Jesus said to Paul? Paul, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? That's when things start to get hard. But God's yoke is easy and God's burden is light. That tells me if things are starting to get hard for me, maybe something's not quite right. Because Christ is simple. The way of God is simple. I don't worry. I don't fear. The way of God is simple. And He'll lead me in those paths because I belong to Him. And He'll quicken me in my decisions so they are the right decisions if I acknowledge Him in all my ways. It's amazing to me how many believers won't ask God when they're making life decisions, as though they knew what 2 seconds from now will bring. Not to be morose, but are you sure you're going to get home today? Are you absolutely sure? I hope you do. But are you sure? I tell you one thing, that man reaching for that iced tea thought he would get some iced tea. Never did. You don't know anything. It's a wonder we know our own name. You know what the funny thing is? We don't know that either. Because God gives us a new name. It's written on a white stone. And we'll get that in heaven. We don't even know our name. How can I live in anything but the simplicity of Christ when I don't even know my name? My dog knew her name. She knew more than I did. Don't believe it? She knew more than you do too. You don't know your name. You don't know who you are. Oh, I know who I am. No, you don't. You don't know who you are. Did David, when he was shepherding the sheep, know he was the king of Israel, the great king, the seed of the Savior? Did he know that? No, he didn't. His brothers didn't know it either. They saw a shepherd kid, and they thought he was obnoxious. And he said, you come up here looking for trouble, as he delivered Israel. By the way, whenever you're walking in the will of God, whenever you're responding to God in faith, somebody's going to tell you you're wrong. Why? They did it to David. They did it to the Savior. They did it to the prophets. What makes you think they won't do it to you? always happens. Never be dissuaded from walking in the simplicity of faith. Never be dissuaded from living in the simplicity of Christ. Because in that simplicity is where you get your life. That simplicity is your life. You know?